Welcome to the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast with your hosts, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
All right. Hey, we're back for another episode of the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast. I'm Joe Fear with my partner and, I don't know, this dude across the table with me, Matt Wolf. And we got Marshall Wayne on the line here with us, and he's a buddy. We go way back. I don't even know how many years. Yeah, but dude, I don't even know how to describe you, so I'm not going to even try, but thanks for being here.
I'm just glad we're hanging out and talking.
Well, I know.
Well, Marshall is, he's a ninja brand. I actually hate using the term ninja, but for whatever reason, it always just slides out of my mouth anyway. But he's just like, he's killer with his branding. I mean, the imagery he puts on Facebook is just so polished and professional. And I know he helps other people do that sort of branding and builds this like style brand around people. And the work he does is just amazing. So I think we're going to talk about some of that kind of stuff today, and I'm excited to dive in on that.
That's right.
And yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, man. I mean, so I always look at your Facebook posts because that's where I see it pop up all the time. I think I'm a member of one of your groups too, but every single time I'm like, damn, that guy looks like Batman. Like, he just, you know, and all these images. So if you haven't seen Marshall's stuff, I mean, literally, you could probably just Facebook, you know, Google his, or Facebook his name. And like, you'll see these posts pop up, and there are these images that are just like, dear God, it looks like you just paid some dude in Hollywood like $1 million to put you on a movie set. And, you know, it looks out of this world.
I appreciate you saying so. And it's funny because I have on my Photoshop, I'm recreating a Gotham, you know, the Gotham TV show, an image from there. So it's no secret why. I mean, I copy almost everything Batman does, you know.
So, including his last name.
Right. Mr. Wayne.
My full name is Marshall Wayne Donnerbauer. My dad's name is Wayne. Mm-hmm. So,
oh wow.
I just took first and middle like Tom Cruise, you know.
Right.
Nice.
Name, yeah.
So what's what got you in this whole, I don't want to go too far in a backstory because that's not really what we do so much, but I guess why this?
Well, at some point you created ISIS.
Yeah. Hey, well, we weren't supposed to tell anybody that, right?
That was my business. It was my currency business. I was funneling money out of Iraq, which I know how that sounds. It sounds horrible, but yeah, obviously that dissolved in 2011 really quickly.
Yeah.
And so I had to grasp onto whatever I knew how to do, and I branded myself in that business. So I just started the agency, which had it's got very similar imagery, so I didn't have to recreate the wheel. So that's how I started this.
So it was really the... So it was for your currency business. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that was a great business until it wasn't.
Well, yeah. I can only imagine. I don't know anything about the currency trading or and all that. But no, it's interesting because like this... So you've taken that... Now you created an agency. You work with clients. What kind of clients are you working with?
Well, authors, coaches, consultants, mainly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know the drill, the high end.
Sure.
The high ticket guys, mainly the mastermind groups, people like that are my general, because they're able to pay me what I would like to be paid.
Yeah. You know? Well, you know your worth.
Like your work is, no matter how good your work is, it's only worth what it is to the person, you know.
Absolutely.
So like sometimes friends of mine from back home will ask me to do some things, and obviously I just do it for free normally, obviously.
Right.
But sometimes I have to charge, and I'll charge very little because first, they can't pay. Second, they're my personal friend and I want them to do well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your stuff is only worth what a person can pay.
Yeah. No, and you're super...
forget that.
I mean, it should start with, obviously deliver a massively great product to them, but build it of value and charge what you're worth too. So...
Yeah, I'm already assuming somebody has talent and is already good at what they're doing. I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're beyond thinking about being good at what we're doing.
So, I guess the latest project, and I saw you. I think it was in a Facebook comment, like right before. Maybe it was like last month, but you worked with Starbucks to release this fancy pants drink they had for a little bit.
Yeah, I worked with them. You know, I had to sign an NDA. My portion was so minuscule that I didn't even know what was going on. My friend was the lead, the project manager on that, right? I've known her since she got out of college. So we have close ties. So I've seen her go from agency to agency and then to Starbucks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which was way bigger than any agency she was working at. And so a lead on that project was fascinating. So she sent over an NDA from Starbucks and then I signed it. And then all I knew is she said to I can't tell you the name of the drink. I can't tell you what it is. Think of the first Instagrammable drink. Think of rainbow, cotton candy, and balloons.
And coffee. And you know, okay.
Yeah. And you know how my stuff looks.
Yeah.
Nothing.
That's like the anti-you. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And so all my contribution was is she could use me as an idea, bouncing ideas off. I'd create some things, and she'd think about it, send them over to her people. So that my contribution was only that. But right. It was interesting to know the backstory of how it originated until the day I knew the day it was going to launch, obviously.
Sure.
Everybody. But I was in the airport, and then I saw the first person walking through the concourse with one, and I was so excited. I was like, oh, yes.
So if you don't know, yeah. What was it called? The unicorn something or other?
Yeah, the unicorn frappuccino.
Yeah, and it was out for, was it like a week or just a weekend? I don't know.
Yeah, I think 7 days, but it's close to 7 days, whatever.
Well, I never had the pleasure of drinking one.
I didn't.
Unfortunately. You know, not fortunate.
I took one sip of one, and it's not my...
No, I'm like the street espresso black guy, so I would have hated it.
I'm the same way. I drink black coffee, and that looked like it was a cup full of colored sugar.
Yeah.
That, well, it literally was that, right, with caffeine in it.
Yeah. So I guess when I go back, so let's take a step back. So the branding, I kind of said like why. So why, what's your intention, and this will lead us into maybe how people can do this for themselves, but why did you choose this style of branding? And maybe just describe it a little bit more so we can put some visuals to it.
So my stuff is, well, like we said, it's the exact opposite of the unicorn frappuccino thing. So it's usually dark and gritty. I rarely smile in my stuff. I do when I'm doing my, you know, like a video selfie, obviously.
No, you're super nice in person, and like here, you're always like, it's like totally different than your imagery.
No, I hear that. Yeah. I hear that a lot. But I kind of want to go the exact opposite of a used car salesman. You know how people will smile just to make people think that what I'm selling to you is good because look at, I have a smile on my face, so I'm a good person. I just have been so turned off by people who do that. I like nice people, but I don't like fake nice.
Right.
There's a difference. A lot of people who are fake are not nice people. They're just trying to look like it. So I just go the exact opposite route. And plus, I love movies. You guys know that. Mm-hmm. Movies as well.
It's very a cinematic feeling. Everything looks like it's a screen grab out of a movie or something.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. I just see, like, I'll walk around Hollywood and I'll see a billboard for a new thing, and I'll run back and I'll film myself in that manner and then edit it.
That's so cool.
You know, so that's why. I mean, I just get all my ideas from movies or TV shows.
And it feels like you're building this brand for not only yourself, but for clients, that you almost feel larger than life, and where it instantly separates you from any other competitor out there, anyone else in the market.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, when you're scrolling your newsfeed, so Facebook ads is my primary outlet, or oftentimes just my Facebook.
Post.
My personal Facebook works. Mm-hmm. But, you know, ads, obviously, are where I generate my clients' business, even though sometimes I don't need to use it for myself that much.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're scrolling your newsfeed, everything looks relatively the same. And so just having something that shocks people, a pattern interrupt, as we use it in our world, obviously. I find that what'll happen is, so I'll create what I call conceptual branding that I know my clients wouldn't be able to use in their business, but it'll shock them out of their slumber of thinking that they need to copy whoever's in their market.
Mm.
And then we'll do something a little bit in between that'll still be a pattern interrupt in their market, but not as extreme as what I would do, and kind of scare people off perhaps in their market.
That's actually an interesting approach. Tell them, or just show them with this kind of shock and awe package. Be like, you know, we're not going to use this, but like, holy shit, well, I can look like that. And they're like, okay, let's scale back a little bit so you'll actually use it and not feel crazy. You know? That's so cool.
Weird out your market. It's like concept cars when you go to a car show.
Mm-hmm.
They have such outrageously cool looking cars, but nobody's going to be able to buy that car, right? It just wouldn't be feasible to put it on the market. But it does show what Chrysler or Ford or GM can do.
Mm.
So you think, well, if they could do that, certainly the car that I buy for $40,000 is going to be fantastic.
Totally. Yeah, it's like with a Beamer, you'll just end up buying a 3 Series or whatever when you saw this crazy, you know? Like,
yeah, of course.
But my car's just as good.
Well, right. They know it's not quite as good, but
yeah, yeah.
They know they're buying a good product. If they can do this, then they can certainly make your car good as well.
For sure.
Now, that's the approach I take.
What sort of like tools or software do you use to make this imagery?
Well, just the whole Adobe suite, the Adobe Creative Cloud suite. So Photoshop, After Effects, Premiere, and Audition. So it covers my imagery to the videos, to the special effects, to the voice. So those four things on repeat, I use them. And in fact, there's only like probably 10 buttons in each of them that I use over and over. You know, it took me years to master them, but what I really only needed to master was 10 things. If I knew that, it would have been a much quicker learning curve. But
80-20, there you go.
Yeah. It's not how it goes. When people, sometimes when you get so good at what you do, and then people see it only took you a day, and they go, well, why am I paying you this amount of money? Oh, yeah. But it's like it took me 5 years to be able to do it in a day.
No, yeah. They're paying for the knowledge and what you bring to the table. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could take longer.
Sure.
I could
take a month. If you really want to wait, but yeah.
Exactly. I'll do it in a day and then sit on it for 29 more.
I love it. No, that's interesting. And then you're not only using that, though, but you're doing props. I mean, I'm sure you have green screens and stuff like this, right?
Yeah, I mean, my green screen is just 6 feet wide, though, so it's nothing. Mm. You know, when I watch the behind the scenes of like Superman versus Batman or something, I go, oh my God, how amazing that would be to have a whole gigantic warehouse of green.
Sure.
But I don't. So
I've been in one of those studios once. I think it was it was in LA. Yeah, it was with, I was filming with Chris Farrell. I don't know if you know him.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, so he's up there. And I was just like sitting around and I was like, this place is badass. But they filmed, I think, Hulu shows there way back in the day. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, they did a whole...
That's fascinating.
It is. No, and I don't know anything about it, but I was just like, this is cool.
Yeah, well, of course.
Right. Well, so, like, how is there a way... I know you do this for, like, a done-for-you type service. I think that's mainly what you do. But do you also teach, or are there ways that people can do this for themselves? Maybe on a quote-unquote ghetto scale?
Well, I do it on a ghetto scale.
That's true.
I mean,
I really do.
I mean, my lighting setup and green screen package was $250 from Amazon. From Cowboy Studios, I think.
Oh, yeah. Same setup we have.
It is.
Yeah, it probably is. We all get that. And I've never had to upgrade from it, to be honest, so I never did. Well, generally, when I post something on Facebook, somebody will ask me how I did it, and I'll usually post specific details of how it was done. So, I mean, just on my personal Facebook... Mm. People can get a lot of the details. Mm-hmm. In my Icon Engineering group, it's a course. I obviously go into great detail in there.
Right. Yeah.
So how people can do it on a ghetto scale like I do it.
Nice.
You know what else I found? You know, if I was filming it all in a Hollywood studio, then not as many people would, I think, either buy from me, like in my Icon Engineering course, or even hire me, because I feel like they think that, oh my God, it's going to be such a huge production. But when they see me do it in my living room, then they realize, well, good Lord, if he can do that in his living room and then it results in this end look, and certainly I can do this as well, or he can do it for me in my living room or whatever.
Yeah,
definitely.
No, it makes it feel a little bit more real. They'll actually approach you and, you know, buy from you because they think, you know, you actually get it done in a reasonable amount of time, probably too.
For sure.
Yeah, and not a crazy budget as well.
Yeah.
Now, when somebody goes to hire you to you know, build out this kind of image for them, what sort of process would you work them through? Like, how do you know what sort of movie set you want to put them in, or what sort of imagery you want to sort of build around them? How do you kind of determine that with somebody?
Well, I'll just take one of my recent clients. It was from late last year. Fidel Castro had just died, and so this client who was the marketing manager of a Cuban spy who's an author, he had a long history with Fidel Castro, and he had his books out, but he figured he could relaunch a couple of them and piggyback off the news cycle, you know?
Yeah.
And so all I did is first just went through magazine after magazine and looking for imagery that I thought worked for him, and then I sent him over and saw what resonated in his mind, and then that's how we started. So that we had, it's almost like storyboarding for magazine ads, you know. You see things that look good. If it looks good to you, it'll look good to other people. And mm-hmm. so, and I ran those things past him, and then I flew out, or I went down to, where was he? Laguna. Mm-hmm, I think it was Laguna he was in at that day, but we went all over the place in Southern California and filmed. Just filmed the things that we thought would be catchy to get him on radio shows and stuff like that. So we were just creating promos to make him look mm-hmm. good, equate it with his history with Fidel Castro, who had just died. So it was an easy news cycle to hijack, you know?
Smart. No, then so is a lot of your the end result for these clients, is it stuff for PR and just to kind of get into the news or at least notice somehow?
Yeah, it generally is for PR. They also obviously repurpose the pieces to get business on it, you know, Facebook ads.
Sure.
But to be honest, the best way I've found is to attract somebody big who can then put you in front of their whole crowd, and it saves you a lot of money on ads.
Oh, obviously. Yeah.
So as you guys well know,
mm-hmm.
So generally it is to get in front of a larger presence. I mean, I'm on your podcast right now.
That's right, man. It's leverage. Leverage.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think that's one thing you've done, I mean, extremely well. Not only are you leveraging people, or are they leveraging, it's you're leveraging the image of these other bigger known brands or productions out there.
And the engagement is always crazy on some of this stuff, too. You see some of these videos and these images, and it's just, you know, hundreds of likes and hundreds of comments. And it's, you know, just by having that sort of pattern interrupt, that sort of break from the norm of what people see on Facebook, it obviously attracts a lot of people to you just because of that stuff.
Yeah, I appreciate you noticing that. You know what else I'll do? Just to kind of, I first did it just as a test, but I'll put in brackets sales pitch in all caps.
I think I've seen you do that, yeah.
People love it because you're not trying to sneak anything past them. You're just telling them, hey, if you want to read this, it's a sales pitch.
Yeah.
And so it intrigues them even further. They go, man, that is the ultimate pattern interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody dares do that. And I also put usually the starting price on the ad too.
Have you ever tried that on? Does that either. Do you do that on ads or just on organic stuff?
No, I haven't done it on ad. I don't know why. You know how you get... Have you ever played this, you know, when you're in college, you'll play the stock market with, you know, it's just fake money.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And you'll make like $1 million over the course of a month. Right. Then the moment you put your own money in,
it's gone.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yep.
There's a difference between what I'll try on my personal Facebook and then what I have the guts to try on a larger scale. So I haven't yet.
Got it. No, I mean, I just feel like, because I look at, I mean, there's certain people, and, you know, like Matt and I were just talking while we were eating lunch earlier, going with like case studies, you know, it's like a Facebook post that can create such engagement on Facebook.
It does.
Where it's insane. Right. It's just like, literally, here's what I did. Here's some key points. And like, hey, you want to contact me and work with me? You know, like, simple as that. And you'll get freaking loads of comments. And the other one for you is like a badass image, and obviously you can then put a case study in there or a sales pitch.
Yeah, I try to tell them how I did it.
Yeah, but then, it's cool. It's like you don't even have to necessarily pay for these ads. It's so damn engaging already by themselves. You could probably close a good amount of people that way. Yeah.
Well, I generally do because, you know, Kevin Nations was my model.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was there at his place when he started the family, and, you know, it's
right.
become quite big now. And so I haven't had to... Oftentimes what you do for a living, you don't have to really do for yourself all that much because,
mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I have several websites, but I never use them. First, websites are kind of irrelevant anyway.
Sure.
They're just for looks.
Yeah.
It's my sales funnels that bring in any revenue or just simple posts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's because, you know, Kevin has rich people around him, and then they've filtered down to me, and then they're the people that then they sell, you know, that I help, you know, get into their tribe, then come to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of filtered down that way. So I haven't had to really use the same tactics I use for them on myself because of that sort of pyramiding down of it, you know, it trickles down. If you do good work, then people recommend you to other people.
Yeah, no doubt. And that was always the approach.
Yeah, but that, I mean, just to let people know, that's on high-end clients, you know. That wouldn't work if it was like, if I was selling a $97 course.
No way. No, that's how, like, you know, I mean, the first like 5 years in my business, I was doing strictly, you know, webinars, I was doing video animations, all that stuff. It's exactly what you said. You network with the right people and they pass you around and you have a name now, you know?
Yeah, Dev, well, that's how we all got to know each other.
That's right. Yeah, back in the day.
Mutual friends are like, you guys got to meet.
Yeah, for sure, dude. No, it's a good business when you, I mean, it's, and still to this day, like now more than ever, Matt and I are more in information now and publishing, but still it's who you know. We're partnered, like just the other day we partnered with a few guys that in strategic arms that we're not good at. We're like, hey, you want to join up, you know? And simple as that. It's network.
Yeah, it really is. And now you guys have such a vast network that you could pretty much put any request out and you're going to get tons of, you know, requests back. Most of them be junk, obviously.
Sure.
But, you know, you always find good people.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I'm actually curious, what does... What is your sort of daily life look like? What does your daily work life look like? Because, you know, we're all about, you know, creating processes, creating systems, and, you know, trying to work less and less while still making sort of the same amount of money. So I'm curious what your day looks like and what sort of systems and processes you have in place to make sure your business keeps running.
So I don't really have process. I used to be so tedious with my processes, or like 1 year out goal, 5 year out goal, 15, whatever. But I realized that if I just let my day unfold, now keep in mind, I work though. Mm-hmm. I don't let it unfold and just dick around. I mean, well, some days I do.
Some days it just unfolds and you watch 10 episodes of House of Cards.
Yeah.
I do that quite often. But luckily for me though, that 10 episodes of House of Cards then inspires a thought. And then I go shoot something created, you know,
sure,
because Frank Underwood will look directly into the camera and say something real dark and deep. Mm-hmm. I'll go, oh, that's just like what I want to do.
That's probably a perfect show for you too.
It is. I've copied his persona a lot in my, sometimes I'll watch the show before I'm going to do a narration just so I get the cadence.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that low and like,
yeah.
You know, I don't want the Southern accent, but.
I don't know if I want to hang out with you anymore, though. It's kind of scary. I trust it.
A little bit of the vocal tone.
Yeah, that's good. Cool.
Have you seen the masterclass thing that he teaches?
I have Kevin Spacey's. I have Dustin Hoffman's. I have not Stephen King, but James Patterson.
Uh-huh.
And I have one more.
I keep seeing those. I've never actually bought any, but I keep seeing them going, okay, this is cool. I'm going to buy one of these one day. I've just never done it. But
I mean, you did join, and plus they're $100.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
$99 or
whatever. It's nothing, yeah.
So like compared to our world, they're like the cheapest possible course, you know?
Right.
But yeah, they're fascinating. But I like the promos so much. The promos do so well.
That's right. I've watched probably, you know, how 10 of them or so. And yeah, and I know they're promos, but I'm like, I enjoy watching these. Yeah. Like they're just so well made.
Yeah, I want to buy that. I want to buy the Dead Mouse one. That's completely irrelevant to this conversation, but the Dead Mouse one looks really cool.
I've watched that.
No, that's relevant, right? He takes his hat off his mouse head off.
Yeah.
And then he just sits there and shows you that he just does all of this on his, you know, little board or whatever.
And he literally says it's like you just start mashing keys together and he's not even, I think he even admitted, he's like, I'm not really a musician. I just find patterns and I just do shit. Like, that's,
you know,
so cool.
He's playing a little bit of the
he's coy. Yeah,
down
he's...
home boy makes good, a little bit of that routine.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
But I like that. I thought it was his perfect sales pitch.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Definitely.
Yeah. So what do you got in terms of, you know, and so in your course, or what do you see in your future, I guess? Like, are you going to keep doing this for clients, for yourself? Are you going to somehow scale this or transition somewhere else?
I've hesitated building out a full scale agency because it's not what I want to do. Mostly I've used this period as a time to sort of figure out something new between my currency business, which I love doing, and then whatever comes next. I haven't found the exact thing I want to do. But I realized taking on clients and allowing them to... I'm essentially getting paid to perfect the art of self-promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been doing this whole time, is sort of perfecting my personality in the art of self-invention, really. You know, in the United States, that's what we're all about, is the art of self-invention.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just been perfecting that. I don't want to build out a full scale agency. I want to merge into another new business and then just use my skills to push that thing, you know.
Well, it's kind of clever.
I have no idea what it is, though.
No, I think that's really cool because you're literally getting paid for, you know, doing what you love to make high-end connections. You're obviously getting to know them really well, so you're going to have inherently other conversations that lead to more business or interest and all that stuff. Might partner in something, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, whatever you guys wanted to go into, you guys obviously know so many people that could either partner with you, like you just said, some people that have skills that you don't.
Right.
Obviously, you partner up so that they can use their skills in a way that you wouldn't be able to do. But yeah, I'm just constantly on the lookout. People pitch me ideas quite often, but you know, I'm doing well now, so I wait until I find the thing that really strikes me.
Yeah, I guess that's like, what is that, a gut feeling for you, or do you kind of vet them out? Because I know, I mean, obviously you're dealing with currency, so you're very, you got to be analytical a little bit too, even though you're very creative.
It doesn't have to be in currency again.
That was
my perfect, like, mix of branding and political mind, you know? And so that I knew right away, this is my thing. Boom, I just ran with it, and it just took off like a rocket. You know, when you have the perfect mix of your talents and the things you love to do, it's easy to succeed because you just do it all day.
Yeah.
It's not work.
Yeah, you don't even think about it.
Right.
For sure. Now, when you do the branding stuff with some of your clients, are there any, like, standards that you use that you kind of do the same thing for every client, like a specific type of image or a specific type of video or anything that anytime a new client comes on board, you say, okay, we've got to do this, like these couple of things, because this kind of always works for most of my clients?
I don't as much as I should, and it drives me insane because I'm reinventing the wheel too often.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and that really sucks sometimes. Sometimes I don't want to get out of bed because I think, oh, I don't know, you know, I know a couple clients will be asking me, hey, how far are we along, and I'll be 0%.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to and I don't like to lie, so I have to just suck it up and go, you know what, I just have not been figuring it out. I have not found the motivation, but I promise you I will. You know, I hate doing that.
Well, it's such a creative thing. Yeah.
Well, if I want to do it as good as they hired me to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could spit out something that would work great in their market easily.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I kind of like to, I'm obsessively wanting to create something cool and new each time. But whatever, that's all of our issues.
It is.
If
it
you
is.
Want to be good at anything, that's the constant issue. If you want to be crappy, you can sleep well at night.
That's true. No,
I sleep well at night, though. So I just don't want to wake up some days at all.
Hey, when you got something good going on, you can choose whenever you want to wake up or not. So it's all good. Or I know, like the other day, you saved a goose in a park. I know. I
saw... you know what? I did, and then I got the email back, and it died.
Ah, bummer, man. Yeah.
way to bring a good story
down. It would have. Oh, dang it. It was a 50-50, man.
I mean, it was so close to death, but we tried. It was the only option, so.
Yeah.
But that was a good little deed, I think.
Yeah, that's a good thing to do. Good karma. So what, I guess outside of, what am I trying to say? I'm just trying to think of, like, what are some daily habits that, like, do you have something in the morning, like a morning routine, something that kind of gets you going where you get your head straight? I don't know, maybe it's watching Batman every morning or something, but no. No. But is there something that's kind of like a, you know, I know you kind of like, I'm not going to say fly by night, but you're something that's consistent.
Yeah, no. The only things that I care to do, I go for a walk, right? Not a run yet. I'll work out shortly after that, but I just go for a walk and put the headphones on. I usually listen to Sam Harris. He's got a fantastic podcast. Anyway, I usually listen to whatever he'd put out last, or something by Malcolm Gladwell, or something intellectually stimulating, This American Life or Radiolab. And then I come back, and then I'll just drink some water. I've been on this fasting routine, so I don't eat anything. But when I do, I'll make sure I get protein in me first.
Yeah.
And then I mean, then I usually have an idea of what I want to do with my day, and then I set about accomplishing that goal. So I try to do little micro goals. I used to always have these massive goals, and then it's hard to chunk them down and feel like you're accomplishing anything day to day.
Right.
But if you take these little micro goals in the day, you'll feel good every single day, and then you're ultimately working towards that.
That is cool.
Goal anyway.
Yeah, it's a little less overwhelming, you know, when people are like, my daily routine, and then, like, it starts for, you know, 5 minutes and turns into 45 minutes, and you're like, oh, shit, where'd my day go?
Yeah. I mean, I get those days all the time, where'd my day go? I totally get that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying on my ideal day.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
No, it's good, though, because I think you're letting it unfold. It's not like super input, like where you're getting good ideas, but it's from kind of these select sources, it sounds like, and then walking is kind of just getting out there. I think that's some of the best times for just getting your best ideas going.
Well, it is. I mean, and obviously I have some structure, but it's based on, you know, a client will say, okay, this is the direction I think we'll go. And then I go that direction.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have those things all day. And, you know, accomplish those little tiny things, or sometimes they're big things that take weeks or months. But those things are always there. I just meant my normal personal life routine. Yeah.
Cool. Do you have any, are there any books that you find yourself recommending a lot or reading over and over again, you know, on a annual basis or anything like that?
Well, The Great Gatsby, I read more than once a year because it's so short. Mm-hmm. The War of Art.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
That's another pretty quick read too. I mean, you could sit down in a couple really sittings. Short.
Well, I only recommend people short things. I used to recommend books that I liked, like Atlas Shrugged or The Fountainhead.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's going to sit through 1,000 pages, I realized.
Right.
Now, the people who do are people who already did it. I didn't have to recommend it to them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But for short books, there's also another one, I can't think of the name, by the same author as The War of Art.
Oh,
it's the most recent one. It's like based on his...
No One Wants to Read Your Shit or something like that.
Yeah, No One Wants to Read Your Shit.
Yeah.
I love that because he talks about his movie writing, right? And that's right up my alley, so I...
Yeah, he wrote The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Stephen Pressfield.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, Pressfield, okay. Yep. But I love that book. God, I love it.
That's one I have not read yet.
Yeah, the book again today.
Say it again?
For anybody listening, that book is like an hour's read or 90 minutes at max. So
nice. All right.
Yeah,
it's not a
I love how Stephen Pressfield writes his nonfiction because a chapter might be a half a page long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. It feels like our sales pitches.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
They chunk them down so that people can. You could scan it if you want. But obviously his books are so easy to read that you wouldn't want to do that.
Right.
But it feels like more written like a sales pitch. Real chunked up.
Just the blurbs you need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he doesn't... there's no waste.
Yeah.
You know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so final question. Where can people go learn more about you? Where do you want to send people after listening to this episode?
Well, my Facebook is where I do... all of my stuff, and from there they'll see everything else. Like the agencyvault.com is the newest thing I'm doing. All I have on there is my latest webinar, so it's just a webinar replay, but my personal Facebook in there are the two main places.
Yeah, and I would say follow Marshall. Yeah, at least follow him on the Facebook, because he's always, you'll just see these crazy images pop up. And you know, it's like I follow a bunch of people, but like Ori Bengal,
he's always posting his art. Yeah,
but I'm just like, these are like, you and him are like two people that like, I always see your stuff and I stop and I look at it and I like take time and then I actually read the post because I'm like, oh, they caught my attention. I, you know, I like these guys, so that helps too.
But Ori and I lived together for a couple weeks.
Really?
Yeah, he flew in from Maui. You know, he was in his couch surfing phase. He was like the most famous couch surfer in the world.
Yeah,
he flew in from Maui, then stayed with me in La Jolla for 2 weeks or three. I might have been 3 weeks. I don't know. But we just created the most ridiculous, anything that would come to our minds, we'd create. Which,
I don't know.
You can imagine. Some things we couldn't post.
Most things, yeah. He'd be an interesting podcast.
Yeah, he's
fascinating. Did you ever see when he did bull poker, where he sits around this five guys sit around the table in a rodeo, and they release this bull, and the bull just knocks the whole table and them over, hurting them obviously. But Ori thought that was a thing he should do.
Is that look a thing on YouTube or something?
B-U-L-L poker. Ori Bengal bull poker.
Holy.
You will die laughing. Especially because you know Ori so well.
Yeah.
You'll go, yes, this is something he would do.
I just found it, so that will be... Oh, I'll be watching that after.
Anybody listening into this, we'll have to link to it in the show notes, too, because they can't, say, like...
link it show notes. People need to watch it.
Dude, good. Okay.
Awesome, awesome. All right, well, check out Marshall's Facebook. We'll make sure that's linked up as well.
Oh, yeah.
Can you say the name of your agency site again? What was it?
Oh, the Agency Vault.
TheAgencyVault.com. Check that out with his latest webinar. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, dude.
Man, it was good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, definitely. Man. All right, buddy. We'll talk soon and go make some go more pink drinks or whatever. You know?
I'm on it.
Yeah, all right, man. See ya.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Now, if you don't know already, myself and my partner, Joe Fear, every single week, we put together this killer weekly newsletter that's completely free. If you go to theweeklyprofit.com, you can get on this weekly newsletter. And what we do with this newsletter is we scour the internet. We read every piece of content, listen to blog posts, check out new software and tools. And we distill down the best of the best into a weekly newsletter and deliver it directly to your inbox every single week. So head over to theweeklyprofit.com and make sure you're signed up to receive that weekly newsletter. You're going to love it. Thanks so much again for listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. We'll see you in the next one.